ശിശുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേംസഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി സിമ്പിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി സിമ്പിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി സിമ്പിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരു അൻ ശ്രീ ഗുരുരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ നമാമുഷപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ബുദ്ധലേശ്വരി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേ വഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യദാ ഭക്തി പാദയോസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാദസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപപ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ ദോന്വയാദിതരസ് ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാഃ തേ ഭ്രമഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയാം തേജോവാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാം ദാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിതകൈതവോത്രവരമോ നർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാ വരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യമനുദ്യതേത്ര കൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണാത് നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം ഹനുവേദമവേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജ്ജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിദീർഷദന്ധമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേത് കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണൂകുണിതാധൃതാനനിന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേർ മധുരീം നക്കനി കാവി 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 നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമഃ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശാം യാസാം ഹൈഗതോഗീതം പുരാദീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദപരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീസരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധയായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ where we stopped last time in the Bhagavatam Ekadasha Skandam, we are looking at this chapter 19th, isn't it, where Krishna is saying to Uddhava that the my vijnana sambandhi, that even at one stage after acquiring the knowledge of the self, even that acquiring knowledge also has to be given up. In other words, Krishna says there that the knowledge itself is Krishna. The knowledge is Krishna. It's difficult to understand that concept, isn't it? That we are always seeing ourselves separately from the truth. Actually, we are the truth. The soul itself is the only truth. There is no other truth. While discussing that, we have mentioned about the that what is mentioned about dharmam. Dharmam, that is what we were discussing last time. Dharmam is, it is understood from the Vedic point of view, dharmam is love. Dharmam is love. It means that in our relationship with others, if we do serve anyone with any motive behind it, that is not considered love. It is not considered to be love. That means if there is any emotions created during the service to others, that relationship is selfish. Selfishness. That is the way Vedic definition is about love. In our service to others, if ever any excitement or any emotions is created in that relationship, that is not considered to be love. On the other hand, it is considered to be selfishness. Suppose I have liked somebody and that person like me, he has brought everything and given it to me. But it's only because you feel some happiness from that. In giving something to somebody, you feel some happiness from that. Think about it, that if in one service to other, say in somebody's service to someone else, if there is any emotions in there, any vigaram. Vigaram is a word in the Shastram. I don't know how to exactly translate that into English, but closest word I can think of, any emotions, is behind it. It is not service. It is not service. on the other hand, without any emotions behind, knowing very well what is good for somebody and doing that, and what I have to do, if you do that, Krishna calls that as dharma. This has to be very understood. Also, it's a very subtle thing. People will find it difficult to accept this concept. Basically, in our normal relationship, it's always motivation behind it, isn't it? It's always motivated, it is. Krishna is saying, if there is any motivation in any relationship, that is not dharma. Dharma is knowing well what is good for someone and doing that for him without expectation of anything, without creating any emotions inside, that Krishna calls it as dharma. You can look in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look in the 18th chapter, Krishna mentions that. If you look in the 18th chapter, all these verses in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are loaded with lot of subtlety. It's loaded with a lot of subtlety. And if you do not get that subtlety behind it, it will remain a mystery. This is the difficulty with Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. If you look into the 18th chapter, verse 9 in the 18th chapter. Karyam ityeva yal karmam niyadam kriyade arjuna sangam tetva bhalam chaiva satyaga swatigo madaha. Karyam ityeva yat karmam niyadam kriyade arjuna sangam tetva bhalam chaiva satyaga swatigo madaha. Krishna is saying here that without expectation, sangam tetva bhalam chaiva, without any attachment, it means without any emotions behind, and without expectation of any results, bhalam, sangam tektva bhalam chaiva, karyam ityeva ya karma. It has to be done with that understanding. Something has to be done, that you feel that it is necessary to do that for somebody's benefit. If you do anything like that, without expectation of any results and without creating any kind of motive behind it, if you do that, Krishna says, whatever karmam you do in that way, it is sattvigam. It is in the mode of goodness. It is in the mode of goodness. So you can see how difficult it is to do karmam in the mode of goodness. Is it not? Tell me one place where there is no motivation. We say, oh, you're doing so many things for the world, for so many people. Everything is motivated. So that is why Krishna is saying here, karyam ityeva yat karmam niyadam kriyade arjuna sangam tektva bhalam chaiva satyagaha satyago madaha. That activity which is performed without expectation of any results, without creating any emotions inside, whatever may be the results that comes from that, not concerned about it at all, but fully knowing that it will be good for someone, knowing that properly, that means you need the knowledge behind it. What is good for others to know, you need to have that knowledge, isn't it? What's good for others? Knowing that and doing in that consciousness, Krishna says here, such a sacrifice is, such an action is sattvigam, is in the mode of goodness. That is exactly here. It becomes only a service when it is done in that mode. Otherwise, it's not a service to others. When all the service is loaded with a lot of desires behind and a lot of demands from behind, it is considered to be in the mode of ignorance. Not even passion, it's in the mode of ignorance. Mode of ignorance. So when it is done like that, Krishna calls it as dharmam. Krishna calls it as dharmam. We require a lot of introduction to this chapter I mentioned in the beginning, because this chapter, in this 19th chapter, in the Ekadasi Skandam, Krishna begins very seriously about the importance of knowledge. Importance of knowledge. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, what we are discussing now, all the important chapters, relationship with the knowledge, Krishna is talking about the same thing here, that jnana vijnana samsitam. You will see there, Shri Bhagavan Uvacham, Yo Vidya Shuddha Sambhannam, Alpavan Anumanikam, Maya Matramidam Yatva, Jnanam Jamai Sanyasen. First verse, Yo Vidyashruta Sambhannam. That means that one who has heard properly Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, one who has heard that properly and he has got experience after that, Sharavana Paryantam. Sharavana Paryantam means after hearing and after reflection, whatever he has understood from that. Atmavan, and such a person who has come to the platform of the soul, who is situated on the platform of the soul, and not by arguments, but by experience, by realization. Anubhava Sambhannam. That's why Vidyashruta Sambhannam Atmavan Na Anumanika. And such a person, Maya Matramidam Yatva. Maya Matramidam Yatva. Knowing very well that this whole creation is under the influence of Maya. Under the influence of Maya. Yanam Cha Mai Sanyase. And he should give up this world, connection with this world, and he should also give up that process of acquiring the knowledge after that realization has come. And this Krishna mentions that in the first verse itself. And later on you will also see again Krishna mentions that in the many verses that follows that. We'll come to that later. So, why it is necessary to be like that? This is the question, isn't it? Because that dharma, which is executed in that way, in this concept and this understanding, is called love, and that is what Krishna calls as bhakti. Bhakti is not something that you do a lot of things in this world with a lot of desires behind it and with a lot of plans behind it, but rather anything that is done for others, anything that is done for others, knowing well what's good for that person, but without expectation of any results from that, or without creating any emotions inside, if it is executed, Krishna calls that as love, or dharmam, or bhakti. Whichever way you want to. They are all the same terminologies used in different instances. So, what happens then? What happens when you do like that? If you do things like that, Krishna says, there will be no divisions between people. Yeah? If you continuously do throughout life for others things, without expecting anything from them, and without creating any emotions inside, the division will go. What does that division mean? That's another thing. Division means, between us, where does the division come? When we see one living entity is different from the other living entity. In Krishna's words, there is only one thing who is present in everyone. If we keep on doing things, expecting results and with emotions attached to it, or excitement attached to it, naturally you are creating a situation where you have ragam and dvesham towards people. And the division will widen further and further. In order to avoid that widening of the division, not developing the division, to do that, Krishna says karmam should be executed in the mode of goodness. Only then it will produce the result. Otherwise what will happen is, if you continuously divide and divide, create the division among people, which we always do, because there is no knowledge behind it. That's why we create division everywhere, isn't it? In everything we create, based on money, based on color, based on nationality, based on so many different things. We keep on creating divisions. And this division is what is not in the mode of goodness. Division is in the mode of passionate ignorance, particularly in ignorance. So Krishna says, to develop spiritually a person, he needs first to get rid of this dividing business inside. Dividing business inside. So if you do that, what will happen is that division will go. If you execute the karmam in the mood of goodness, as Krishna mentions there, that karyamityeva yat karmam nirdam kurite Arjuna, Krishna says. Arjuna, karmam has to be executed with this serious understanding. Karyamityeva yat karmam nirdam kurite Arjuna. Sangam tetva bhalam chaiva. Two things. Sangam tetva. No attachment there. Whatever you are doing it fully with the knowledge that it will do good for that person. Sangam tetva bhalam chaiva. No attachment there. That means sangam means it doesn't create any emotions or excitement inside. Bhalam chaiva. And no expectation of results either. If you do like that, Krishna says here, that is called bhakti. That is bhakti. Bhakti we understand in so many different things, isn't it? A lot of people understand bhakti these days completely based on the number of aaratis they do or the number of rounds they chant or whatever that is. But Krishna's definition of bhakti, we'll come to that. When we come to the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it's all about bhakti. How Krishna sees bhakti. And Krishna says here, when that goes away, when the division goes away, that individual personality, what we have identified with so strongly inside, that will go. That will go, which is nothing but false ego. Nothing but false ego. So, in due course of time, I will become that thing, you will also become the same thing, that oneness will get firmly established. Akhandada. Akhandada means that continuity of everyone, the soul's presence in everyone. Akhandada means unbroken. It's never broken. Soul is one, it's present in everyone. And it's broken at the moment due to the body, due to the mind, the intelligence, ego, it is broken. But that broken condition get wiped out and akhandada comes there. And when it comes to that state, and then that kind of service will continue in a natural way. That kind of service will continue in a natural way. Suppose there is no, I have no divisions between, from people, and although in the body level it does exist at the moment. But if you develop this consciousness, what Krishna is saying, what Krishna is talking about here is on a very high level of Vedanta philosophy. Krishna's very highest level of Vedanta, Krishna is speaking here. He says there, once the division goes away, what happens? I do not get limited myself to this body. Remember, in the case of Sukadeva Goswami, we mentioned this, because that is why he was honored by his disciple Sudha Goswami. How did he say?
Yasvanubhavam akhila shruti saramegam adhyalma divam adititirshadam tamondham samsarinam karunayaha purana guhyam tam vyasasunam upayami gurum muninam yam pravrajandam anubedam apedakrityam dvaivayano virahakadaram ajuhavam putredi denmaidayattaravobhinedu tam sarvabhudahdayam munim anathosmi.
That sarvabhudahdayam state won't happen otherwise. If we keep on dividing people all the time and weighing up every time every person and start dealing with him in that way, what will happen?
Tam sarvabhudahdayam.
What Sukadeva Goswami is in that state. That's why Sukadeva Goswami says there, because he is present in everyone. Remember that incident when Vedavyasa Maharshi called him Putra Putra, the trees and the plants and the creepers answered the father, just to show to the father in what state of consciousness he is. Sarvabhuta Hridayam. And how is Sarvabhuta Hridayam? Because the soul is present in everyone. It is not broken. Broken because of ignorance. It's broken. Otherwise it's not broken. That is that say. So even though in others' vision it may appear that you are limited to this body, and others may see you in that way, in your own vision you will become limitless and boundless being. Limitless and boundless being. That is what has happened to Sudev Goswami. That is, all the great personalities are like that. Many, many great sages are all like that. The Tathraya Maharshi, Jadabharata, they all say that in there. If you read Bhagavatam, you will see there what their state of consciousness is. Always seeing in others their presence in others. If you don't see that, how will this enmity and all this ragadvesham will go from inside? So this limitless akhandanam, in other words, that one starts seeing that it is the same soul who is present within me is present in another person. Not only in the person, in the form of the trees, in the plants, cat, dog, the sky, the earth, the ocean, everywhere, the mountains, and infinitely, in all over the space, it's present. All over the space, it's present. Remember, when we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you remember, when the Kavi Maharshi mentioned this, Kavi Maharshi says this in the Bhagavatam, if you look into the second chapter, Ekadasha Skandam, when we're talking about devotee, who is a devotee, he says there, isn't it? When he mentioned who is a devotee, what did he say there?
Kam vayu magnim salilam mahim cha.
There is a verse. Yes.
Kam vayu magnim salilam mahim cha. Jodim shi sattvanishodramadin. Saril samudram shahare shariram. Yal kinjabudam pranamed ananyaha. Kam vayu magnim salilam mahim cha. Khadi sarvam hare shariram. Idi matva ananyaha san pranamed.
That means the sky, the air, the fire, the water, the earth, and all the planetary systems, all the living entities, all directions, all the plants, and the oceans, wherever any living entities are all there, that is all Krishna. That's all Krishna is present there. So this concept, Krishna is saying, what? Of course, this will not happen in the beginning. This is on a much advanced state. Kamayu magnim salilam mahim cha jodhinfi sattvani dishodhramadim saril samudramsha hare shariram. Knowing very well that Krishna is present in everyone, samudramsh yal kinjabhudam pranamed ananya. A devotee pays his obeisances to all these places with this realization inside. So when we talk about it now with these words, it will create one kind of feeling inside us, but it will not have anything more than that. Now we are talking about that in words, isn't it? So you are hearing that, and you will probably use your mind and intelligence to think about it. It has not come into the level of experience level yet. But when we really experience that, rather than just hearing it, but when we start experience that, then you will know that that is the truth. This is, we have to accept it the way the Sukadeva Goswami is saying that, because he is speaking from that state. So you have no other choice except to accept it, as he says. He says here that there, because there is no mind involved in there. At the moment, only the mind is telling us what's good and what's bad and what's right and what's wrong. So this knowledge is not acquired through the mind. This experience will not happen through the mind. It's not possible. What Krishna says here, kamvayu magnim salilam mahimja, that experience will not happen through the mind. Anything you come to know through the mind is a something which baffles. It's a kind of a brahman. Brahma means it's a kind of a illusion, that is. It's a kind of a illusion it is. For example, cinemas, TV, serial, everything. It's all an illusion, isn't it? It's not an illusion. And spiritual knowledge is not to be experienced through the mind. It's not to be experienced through the mind. So, because it is, that is the reality. That is the reality. Or they call it as vastavasthiti. Actual situation is that. That's the spiritual state. Or satajnanam. And when you touch that, experience that, you will notice that that experience, that bliss that's coming from that, is an unbroken and it is complete all the time. It's unbroken and it is complete all the time. So when you see that within yourself and within everybody else, and seeing the same soul present in everyone, and to come to that state of bhakti, the division has to go from inside. In order that the division to go from inside, the pride has to go. The ego has to go. Because the ego, the base for the ego is karmam. Karmam is the base for the ego. Wherever in karmam there is selfish motive or selfishness involved, the division won't go. The division won't go. Wherever in karmam there is any excitement, the division won't go. Wherever in karmam, if there is any benefit or if there is any expectations from there, then the division won't go. Division won't go. This is why Krishna is connecting that with the karmam. Karmam, because Krishna is saying here that in order to come to that state of experience, kamvayu magnim salilam mahim cham. What is that then after that? Kamvayu magnim salilam mahim cham. Janeshu sattvena dishodramadhin. Hare samudramscha saril samudramscha hare shairam. Yal kinja bodham praname dananya. In four lines, Kavi packaged everything. Kavi Maharshi packaged the whole realization in one verse. There were such personalities, he spoke and Nimi understood straight away. For us, we need to explain that. What is that state he's talking about? See, what is important here is that if our spiritual life, if it is not having some results in this world here, if it is all connected after death, everything is going to happen, then it will not last very long. It cannot last. That is what happens, you can see in all other religious traditions. Why Vedantam is very particular about that is, if we read in the Bhagavadam, and if we don't see people in this world who have realized it,
only then this tradition will live forever. If you leave everything after death, it will happen with a promise. It will not survive in this world. You can see that yourself. That is why many other religious traditions, after a while, they will dry up. Everything gets changed, people leave and they'll criticize and they will go. But you can see this Vedic concept, particularly this Vedantam, survived through all these years. Why? Because what is written in the book, people have practiced it and they have realized it and they lived in this world in front of eyes, front of our own eye. And we have seen them living that life, which strengthens our understanding that these words are true. Otherwise, you can just put it in the bin, these books. It's no use. Is there? Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, if it is all promises after death, that we will get something after death, you'll go somewhere and something will happen to you at that time, and a lot of promises. Every religion promises you something or the other. Somebody promises some nice life after that. Somebody says there's plenty to drink, plenty to enjoy elsewhere. All sorts of things. But if a religion is like that, everything based on promises after death, then that religion will not last very long. It will dry up very soon. As soon as that person goes or who has propagated, he leaves, or it will all get changed and twisted and it will be completely lost in the course of time. But you can see this one thing, what sages have written down and told us, like here in the Bhagavatam. So Sudeva Goswami is telling us, Kam vayum agnim salilam ahimcha janeshu sattvir nishadrumadin saril samudram shahare shariram yal kinjabudam praname dhananya. If you see this, read these verses, and when you see people who had that realization and who lived in this world and shown their own life this realization, then you can accept it. You can't reject it at that stage, isn't it? That's the way religion should be. It should not be based on what is happen after death. We don't know what will happen after death. You can't come back and report about this, can you? If a book is written on that basis alone, then it's very difficult you can create anything and tell anything to anybody and they will fall for it many instances. So Krishna is giving us some logic behind it. Krishna is saying that is the proper state. When you see the presence of the soul in every living entity, unbroken and complete in all aspects, but in order to reach that state, karmam has an important role. And wherever in karmam, when karmam is executed, it should be executed in the mode of goodness, sattvikam. And sattvikam means no excitement, no emotions in the karmam, knowing very well what is good for another person. If you do that, and if you do that without any emotions behind it, such a karmam considered as sattvikam. Krishna calls it as sattvikam. Wherever there is selfishness in there, swarthada, or selfishness in there will be division. Wherever there is excitement in anything, there will be division. Wherever there is any benefit or any kind of motivation or expectation of results from that, there will be a division in there. How difficult it is, you can see, to execute karmam without creating division inside. Because when we execute karmam, normally what we think about the results more, isn't it? Every time we think like that, we do not think what it is creating inside us, what impact it has got on us. That's more important than what the results are. So that's why Krishna is saying, when the karmam becomes free from that selfish motive, and when the division goes away, karmam becomes free from that selfishness. At that time, Krishna says, Sarva Bhudeshu. Krishna is saying to him, Uddhava, you will see me in all living entities. At that time, you will see me in all living entities. So that is where we begin this chapter. We are going now back to the 18th chapter, the chapter before, where Krishna is concluding that 18th chapter with this principle. If you remember, if you look into the 18th chapter, you will see there, you have to study Bhagavatam very seriously. Otherwise, all these things will just go one through one ear and go through the other. It shouldn't happen that way. It should stay inside and see what Krishna is stressing on certain things very, very seriously. If you look into the last chapter,
in the verses which was in the 18th chapter, that is 18th chapter, look at the 44th verse. Krishna, that is where Krishna is beginning to saying that idimam yasadharmena bhajan nitya mananya bhak sarva bhudeshu mal bhavam mal bhaktim vindade achiral. Krishna is saying the easiest way is in the varnashrama dharmam. The result of that is idimam yasadharmena bhajan, that dharmam if we execute, bhajan nityam ananya bhak, see that words, ya idi ananya bhak sarva bhudeshu mal bhavaha so dharmena mam bhajan bhavadi so achiral mam bhakti vindade. Remember, when we talked about varnashrama dharmam, we mentioned there what is the purpose of varnashrama dharmam? To create bhakti, to develop bhakti. And this is how varnashrama dharmam creates bhakti. People ask this question, why do we need varnashrama dharmam for? Varnashrama dharmam mentions in the Vedam, dharmam varnashramanam shrutipata vihidam. It is in the Shruti, it is in the Vedam. Tulparatvena bhaktya kurvando andarviragehi. If you execute varnashrama, because varnashrama dharmam is dharmam. And that dharmam is what Krishna is talking about here. And varnashrama dharmam, when it is executed in this state, in this way, in the satya way, in the mode of goodness, what will happen is, it will end up in bhakti. It will end up in bhakti. That is why it is so important. That's why Krishna says there. And the next verse, bhaktyodhava, look at this 44 itself. Idimam yasodharmena bhajan nityamananya bhak sarvabhudeshu malbhavo malbhaktim vindade ajiral. If you execute your dharmam, if you execute bhakti in that way, what ananya bhak? Ananya bhak means not separated from the another person. That means without division. That is what it means. Without division. Ananya bhak means without division. If you execute your dharmam, sarvabhudeshu madbhavam, you will see Krishna's presence in everyone. That will be the benefit from that. And mal bhakti vindade ajiral, you will develop bhakti automatically inside. You see? Varnashrama dharmam is not something we create by lot of people have this understanding that varnashrama dharmam, because it's like another institution we have to create through varnashrama dharmam. Varnashrama dharmam won't work like that. This is the underlying principle of varnashrama dharmam, that to work in such a way that you don't create division among people, able to accommodate everyone. That means the people who are trying to implement varnashrama dharmam, they should be free from division first of all. If they themselves are have creating division, they will never be able to create any varnashrama dharmam. Dharma mean anyone. That's not possible. That is why it is becoming practically very difficult today to understand. People do not know the subtle principle behind varnashrama dharmam. They are thinking that Rabba said we should have varnashrama dharmam. So immediately somebody gets up and starts saying that, no, let's have varnashrama dharmam everywhere. It will not happen that way. It's because it's all very subtle principle behind it. The sages have put certain stress on certain things in order that to happen. When in a society, when first of all they mention that these qualities for Brahmana, these qualities for Kshatriya, these qualities for Vaishya, these qualities for Shudra. They said like that. But they didn't tell anyone that you are Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra. If you are working with that quality, naturally you are in that category, if you are working with that quality. But the quality must be there. If the quality is not there, what can you do? What is the point in rubber stamping everyone Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra? How will it help? The quality must come from within. That means if there is someone who is working with this understanding, without creating division in anyone, and able to work without any selfish motive or without exploiting someone, fully with the understanding that what he is doing is going to do good to others, if he is able to continuously operate like that, it will create, develop bhakti in that person. It will create, develop bhakti in that person. He will become a devotee. That is how you make a devotee. That is the principle of making person becoming a devotee. That he constantly able to execute dharmam in this way. What Krishna mentions there. That's why he says here, you see that words, idimam yasodharmena bhajan nityam ananya bhak Ananyabhag means there is no divisions there anymore. Sarvabhudeshu malbhavam, all place, in everyone, it is only the same soul is present in everyone. There is no question of dividing people in any level. In a bodily level, there may be differences. In Vyavaharam, there will be. But inside that knowledge should be very, very sound and strong inside, that there is no difference between living entities in any form, in any body. Bhajate sarvabhudeshu malbhavo. If you do like that, Krishna is saying, mad bhaktim vindade achiral. Very soon, very quickly, he will develop bhakti. That is the beginning of bhakti, state of bhakti. Otherwise, bhakti will keep on saying, bhakti, 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 bhakti will never happen. It's an important principle before Krishna is addressing this, before the 19th chapter, all these things. And in the next verse, what will happen then? He says, bhakti, bhakti uddhava anabhayinyam sarvaloga maheshwaram sarvolpatyapeyam brahma karanam mobayadisaham. Bhakti uddhava anabhayinyam. That kind of bhakti, Krishna Christ calls it as anabhayini. Anabhayini means that bhakti, if you have developed, there is no danger anymore for that kind of bhakti. Our bhakti is very much subjected to danger, isn't it? Our bhakti, the funniest thing is that quite often people will say like this, you may have also heard this, come across many times. Everything is going on nicely in life. Family life is going very well. Wife is happy, children are happy, everybody is happy, social life is happy. Financially everything is going well. Health-wise no problems. What does people say? Krishna is so happy with me, he is looking after me all the time. When Krishna is doing that, you take it, Krishna is not looking after you. It's on the other way you have to look at it. But generally people will always say like this. Devotees also, we all say like that. So everything, no problem at the moment, health-wise fine, wealth-wise fine, everything is fine. So what do people say? Oh, Krishna is so kind to me, he is looking after me. We say like that. On the other hand, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna starts smashing you down, then he is your well-wisher at that time. That's when the mercy or kripa is coming from Krishna. It's the other way, it's exactly the opposite. So here, Krishna says here, bhakti uddhava anabhayinyam sarvaloka maheshwaram, that he will develop that bhakti, ekanda bhakti or anabhayini. Anabhayini means that bhakti what he has got like this has no danger anymore. It will not go, it will stay forever. Whereas the other bhakti, what we normally talk about, that bhakti will go as soon as there is some distress in life, gone through the window. All bhakti gone in 1 minute, it's gone, that bhakti. But this is not that bhakti. Krishna is talking about bhakti uddhava anabhayinya, anabhayini, Krishna says, isn't it? Uddhava also says to Krishna the same thing. Namostu de maha yogin prabanna manishadhimam yathatva charanam bhoje retisyal anabhayini. That anabhayini, anabhayini means, abhaya means danger. Anabhayini means no danger anymore. That kind of bhakti. That is important. That is bhakti. Not the all the other bhakti what we have ourselves defined as bhakti. So, this bhakti, Krishna says here, sarvotpatyapayam brahma karanam mobayadisam. So, because he will definitely come back to me. If he has developed that kind of bhakti, he has to come back to me. He has no choice. That's what Krishna is saying. Sarvotpatyapayam brahma. Sarvopatyapayam means, who is the origin of everything? Brahman, Krishna. To him, karanam mopayadisa. And he will come back to me because he has come to the proper understanding of bhakti. That is the main thing from there. So, saying that, Krishna is going on slowly to the 19th chapter. This is the end of that 18th chapter. And Krishna says that all bhudam, all living entities, he is present there. And he will become one with Krishna, Brahman, Brahman, akhandam, unbroken in any way. So Krishna has mentioned here that even varnashrama dharmam has been spoken only for this purpose, to create this unbroken knowledge of the soul.
unbroken nature of the soul, to realize that unbroken nature of the soul. And Krishna says like that. And in the next verse, in 47, Krishna is saying here, Varnashrama vadacharam, Varnashramam, Varnashrama vadam dharma, esha achara lakshanaha, sa eva madbhakti yudo, nishrayasa garaparam. Nishrayasa garapara. So he says here that because of this reason, you will be surprised if you hear this, that because it is like that, in the olden days, people won't travel a lot from their home. Why? If they travel from home, what used to happen? It will create difficulty in executing their karma, nitya anushtanam, nitya karma. For anushtanam's sake, because in order to execute that varnashrama dharma, you have to follow that particular way of life. It helps. So therefore, they won't go anywhere. They will live in one place. With this knowledge in the background, they will live their life. They will live their life in that way, not traveling any other places, living there, because then it makes a lot easier to execute that dharma properly. So, and if you do like that, because if you are living in your own place and executing your own karma in that way, there won't be any abhimanam in there, not much of a pride in there. You're not competing anywhere. You're living in your own place where you were born and grew up in that same situation. There won't be any abhimanam. Abhimanam means pride or ego. Fulfillment of ego is not there. And if you continuously do like that, the benefits is that, first of all, we will win over our own body, first thing. The bodily level, on a bodily phase, we will get over the problem. You can see in the modern world, everybody travels, isn't it? For job's sake, from Los Angeles to Sydney, people go. Think that, why? It's not that because the sound understanding of the spiritual principle is not there anymore. It's all based on material conditions, isn't it? They say that there's no job here, so I'll have to go somewhere else and go to all over the world, and we look for jobs, and wherever the job is there, we go there. But Krishna's point is that in the past, in practical level, people didn't travel for this reason only, that in order to win over the body, first of all, sharira mandalam, we are at different levels, isn't it? We are on a bodily level, on a mental level, intellectual level, different levels we operate in this world. If you do this, in a living in one place and execute the karma, it will help you to win over the body. Help you to win over the body. You can see this very easily. Suppose you have lived in one place the whole life. Whole life you have lived in one place. A stage comes in life, you are not too disturbed over the changes in what's happening there. But when you are traveling all the time, intercontinental travel and intercontinental job search, intercontinental lifestyle develops. Everywhere you go, there is problem. When you come here, it's cold. When you go somewhere else, it's very hot. So either way, that means you are unable to even win over your own body. Bodily need, bodily level, you are still being disturbed. You know, still being disturbed. Because all the karma, what we do, is related to body. It's very much related to the body. Because the movement of the body, or the movement in the karma, is that knowing that it is creating chalanam. Chalanam means movement inside. And due to the movement away of the body, and knowing that, and due to that, you understand the nature also, prakriti. And if you give up the pride from that is that if you, in the past you can see, while Varnashrama Dharma existed in this world, farmers, business people, or even the Brahmanas, they lived in one place. And they executed their karma in that state, isn't it? By doing that, they got themselves freed from the bodily problems. Body problems means that there was not much of a pride in what they were doing. And that was necessary to free themselves from the bodily level. Free themselves from the bodily level. I hope you understand what I'm saying. That able to take away that pride from the work, and able to execute the work in a particular rhythm, it happens. Even now you can see sometimes when you go to small towns, villages, there are certain people, if you look at their lifestyle, they get up in the morning, they have a routine, and then they go to their business or they go to the field at a particular time, and they are not aspiring for big changes in their life. They maintain that routine in their life. Have you noticed that? You can see that still. I'm sure it's all over the world, it's like that. There are people who live that life. Idea is that when they are not making big plans in life, while living in that particular place, whatever karmam they have been that has come to them according to the destiny, they have accepted that, and they do that in a particular rhythm, they continue to live that life. Whereas our life is full of tension and stress all the time, making plans every moment, phoning here, phoning there, and constant anxiety. Why this has happened? Because of that varnashram breaking up has created this situation. So it will go in, and if you live like that, very easily purification happens inside. Chitta Shuddhi will happen. Even now, many people are there who are serious about Srimad Bhagavatam. They do not go very far. They live in one place and they live with what they have got and accept it in that way and continue to practice their life, because it creates purity inside. Chitta Shuddhi will happen from that. By pride, when the pride goes away, Chitta Shuddhi happens. Purification of one's own existence happens. And when the purification happens, Krishna is saying here, bhakti will develop. Bhakti will develop. That's a process. So, so this bhakti, Krishna finishes 18th chapter with these verses, talking about bhakti. And in order that bhakti to develop, Krishna talked about dharma. And how dharma develops bhakti, we have seen through karma. When karma gets purified without expectation of results and without identification with the, or without creating excitement or emotions in them, that kind of karma will purify a person. It won't create any pride inside. And the result is that he will get purified. Chitta Shuddhi will happen. In order that to happen, Krishna says Varnashrama Dharma will help. And for the same reason that in the ancient times when Varnashrama Dharma was present in this world, people didn't travel very much. They stayed in one place. And only for one reason, that it is very easy to win over the bodily level, if you live in one place. It's very easy to win over your body if you live in one place. So, and then it will, what happens is that the pride goes away from inside and the life goes in a particular rhythm. You will think that, oh, what kind of life they have got. They don't have the life like we have. We think that they are such a boring life. Such a boring life. Sometimes you see this, some young Indians, when they come back from America, they come to the villages in India, and this is so boring, there's nothing here. They say, and the very next flight they go back. They spend a week or so. I'm coming from Los Angeles to India, they go back in the next day. Some of our devotees have done that. They came in the morning and they flew back in the afternoon to LA. They came to Mumbai and they flew back in the afternoon back to LA. They said they couldn't stay. Why? It's disturbed inside. That is the very nature. Whereas there are many people, when your flight lands in Mumbai, you can see there are so much, what they call the slums there. And there are people there living there for whole life there. Not disturbed over it. They are more stable in their spirituality than us who are running around all over the world. And it's in the villages you can very clearly observe this. But what we have done is we have gone and disturbed them also. So they also don't live peacefully. We are already in disturbed, but we go and disturb them as well, telling them, look, you are not making any progress. We need this factory and this computer industry or something new, some new venture, and we disturb them as well. This is how this Varnashrama Dharma broke up one after the other. We gone and destroyed everything with this modernization, as they call it. So the result of that, we can see the advantage when you live like that, the bodily level comes under control and it flows a particular rhythm, your life goes on, and there will be no pride inside very much because you are doing the same thing every day. They go to the shop in the morning, they sit there and whole day, whatever business they get in, they make it, they're happy with that, they go home in the evening. And that means there is not much of a movement inside the mind. So Krishna says here that the result of all this is that you will get purified. And purification happens means bhakti will develop, and when bhakti develops, it's ready for receiving spiritual knowledge. It's ready. This is that sequence how it happens. Varnashrama dharmam, dharmam creates karmam, executed in that particular way becomes dharmam. It develops bhakti. Bhakti, it develops into chitta-shuddhi will happen, purification of one's own existence. It happens, and the result of that, Krishna is saying here, in that pure state, in the consciousness, alpajnanam, the knowledge of the self will develop. This is the reason you can see, before starting 19th chapter, at the very end of 18th chapter, Krishna again stresses the need for bhakti, to have this knowledge to develop inside. Knowledge is not otherwise going to happen. That's why Krishna says. So, after saying this, if there is bhakti inside, there will be knowledge of the self in that sad person. It is saying that Krishna is moving on to the next verse, to the first chapter, into the 19th chapter, first verse. We'll see. 11:19:1.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Yo Vidya Shruta Sambannam आत्मवान्नानुमानिकाम् माया मात्रमिदं ज्ञात्वा ज्ञानं जामयि सन्न्यसेत् श्रीभगवानुवाच यो विद्याश्रुतसम्पन्नः आत्मवान्नानुमानिकाम् माया मात्रमिदं ज्ञात्वा ज्ञानं जामयि सन्न्यसेत् या विद्या श्रुतसम्पन्नः आत्मवान् नानुमानिकः भवति सा इदं मायामात्रं ज्ञात्वा ज्ञानं च मयि सन्न्यसेत् यो विद्या श्रुतसम्पन्न आत्मवान् न अनुमानिकः मायामात्रमिदं ज्ञात्वा ज्ञानं च मयि सन्न्यसेत्
कृष्ण इज़ सेइंग हियर दैट उद्धव One who has heard about this science of the soul, Atmavidya, in other words, or Brahmavidya, various names given to that, from a realized soul, and he has experienced it himself. First of all, he has to hear that about this from a realized soul, and he has experienced it himself. That is more important. Not only that he has heard, he also has to experience. Then Krishna says, na anumanika. What does that mean? Because he has also come to know that it is the truth by inference. By anumana means inference. Through inference also he has understood that it is the real thing. That is the right thing. And not only that, he has got a little intuition inside. He is having a little intuition inside. Then what else? Eventually he has become that. That knowledge, he has become that. That means, Krishna is saying here, first of all, a person who has gone from a spiritual master, he has heard about it. He has lived that life throughout. He has lived that life throughout. And he has come to understand through, by hearing and by living that life, he has experienced a little bit of that. This happens. When you live that life for quite some time, you will also start experiencing that you are experiencing that truth, what it is spoken here. Added to that, through inference, that means through using his own mind, intelligence, everything, he has more and more reflected on it and accepted it inside. In other words, he has accepted it inside. And he started realizing that what he is doing is the right thing. He is doing the right thing. Not only a little intuition, but eventually he becomes that. What does that mean? He becomes that means that he cannot see that anymore on an intellectual platform. It is complete experience level. Then he becomes that. You see that difference? On an intellectual level, you can understand many things, but you have not become that yet. But when you experience something, you become that. Then you won't act anything against that, isn't it? You know what I'm saying? That when you experience something, the knowledge of the self, then you are spiritual then. At that time, you are not anymore acquiring knowledge through mind and senses. It has become, you have become that, in other words. That's what Krishna is saying here, that Atmavan, he has become that. Na anumanika. Not only that, not that everything he has got is by inference. Inference means that by, suppose you heard something, you thought about that, and you come to some conclusions about it. That is inference, isn't it? That's inference. So, not Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, and all the other Shastram, is not by inference you know it. You know what I mean? Say, for example, you read something, engineering or chemistry or physics. You are reading something about an experiment, it talks about an experiment to prove a particular theory, some particular law, Charles' law, Boyle's law, whatever law it is, and tells you that these are the effect of the result of this particular law, how the in nature gases behave and things like that. You read that and then you thought about it through your mind and intelligence. And when you read through it and you have put everything together, what you know about chemistry, and you come to conclusion that what the law says must be true. In your own mind you come to a particular conclusion, isn't it? That will not work in case of Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. This is the point. Through inference alone, you can't do it. Inference may help you sometimes in that. That is not the main way you receive this knowledge. That's not the way. This knowledge of the self is not received through inference. It may help you in some instances. That's all. That's why Krishna is saying here, Atmavan na anumaniga. Not by anumanam alone, he says. Na anumaniga. Atmavan na anumaniga bhavati. He says here, anubhavajnana sambandham. That means, not through arguments or logic or anything, but at the same time, simply by experience, he has to realize it. Otherwise, it's all useless. It's all useless. That is the difference between spiritual knowledge and material knowledge. In material knowledge, everything you acquire through your mind and intelligence, isn't it? You study and you analyze it in your mind and intelligence, and you are able to memorize it, you got it. You don't really have to experience it, isn't it? And next day when you go to examination, if you can do everything on the paper, you get your results. So nothing has changed as a person, you have not changed anything. Nothing has changed. Sometimes it's wonderful, isn't it? When you see some of the things that big scientists, they may be very good at all these things with their brain and very thoughtful people, very intelligent people, but they are only on that platform of intelligence and the mind. Very next day, something goes wrong in their life, they go and commit suicide. Or they do something terrible, horrible thing in this life. Why? That means they stayed in that level only. They didn't change. Change didn't happen in them. But Krishna is saying here that Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita and all the Shastram, you should not learn through anumanam. Na anumaniga. Through inference. That after knowing this, that is the most interesting thing. After experiencing this, you will know that that knowledge is also Maya. Knowledge is also Maya, and then you have left it. That means, when you come to realization, what will happen is, you are leaving this process of acquiring knowledge through mind and intelligence, and it leaves you once for all, because you have become that. Then you don't have to anymore, after that, remember it, or you have to attend any courses or seminars after that. You've gone out of that state. You are experiencing it. That's what Krishna is saying here. That maya matram idam pashye jnatva jnananja mai sanyaset.
Krishna says, at that stage you know, maya matram idam, this is all maya. Now, this so-called knowledge, what we are acquiring through our effort, is also knowledge. Why? Because this is the real state. When you realize that it is all maya, then you are properly situated. Because that means you have that perfect knowledge in experience at that moment within you. That's what Krishna is saying here. Maya matram idam yatva jnanam cha mayi sanyaset. Krishna says, at that point, knowing that everything is maya, he can give up the jnanam also, knowledge also, and come to the sannyasam state. That is what is called as vidvat sannyasam. Vidvat sannyasam means, in sannyasam there are several categories. Some people, they don't take sannyasam. What they do, in whole life they practice spiritual life very seriously. They may be a householder. But a stage will come, they are so realized through this process, they are more advanced than an ordinary sannyasi. This will all happen in life. It's not that everyone who has put on a saffron and a danda in the hand is the only self-realized soul. It doesn't work like that. So sometimes what happens, there are many people, even today, people, they are in their 80s, 90 years old people, but very advanced spiritually, and they have reached the state of perfection, and that experience is very strong in them, realization is strong in them, but they are still in the householder life. They have not. They're gone, very old, and at the same time, the full realization state. At that time, what happens is, somebody from the traditional mutts, like Sringeri, Kanji, or anywhere from there, a sannyasi is sent there, requesting them to take sannyas, just as a formality at that stage. Because they know that this person is more realized than the same sannyasi who is in charge of the mutt there. This stage will happen. This happened in many, many cases. So what will happen at that time? They will send someone requesting him to take sannyasam. And that is called vidvat sannyasam. Vidvat sannyasam means he is so realized, he is handed over sannyasam in a, just as a formality. Because while leaving the body, to leave as a sannyasi. That's all it is. There are many instances like that this happens. So that is that state Krishna is talking about. Maya, he has gone beyond maya. Maya matram idam yatva. And not only that, jnanam cha mayi sanyaset. He has given up that knowledge also, because he is always in that state of self-realization. Always in the state of self-realization. So Krishna says here, you can see importance of knowledge. That is what we are going to discuss in this chapter. So, and he says here, when he has left that knowledge also, at that time he shines himself in this world purely on the platform of the soul, unbroken, akhanda vastu. At that time his consciousness is such that his presence in all living entities he is experiencing in that state. It's a very elevated state. And he says here, and avashishyate, he remains as the purna vastu or brahma vastu. He remains in that state. He remains in that state. And he stays as it is. He is that state. He is that state as he is. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says the same thing. If you look into the 7th chapter, we discussed this before, 18th verse. Jnani tvatmaiva me madam astido sahayuktaatma. There is a verse there. Isn't it? Jnani tvatmaiva me madam. That is that state. 7th chapter, verse 18.
Udara sarvaye vaite jnani tvatmaiva me madam astida sahayuktaatma. Mameva uttamam gadim.
See the verse. Krishna is saying there that udara sarva evede jnani tvatmaiva me matam. That state, that's what it is. That means they are great, Krishna says. Udara sarva evede jnani tvatmaiva me matam. Krishna says here that jnani is soul, is nothing but soul. Jnani tvatmaiva me matam. That's what that means. Jnani tvatmaiva me matam. That jnani is nothing but soul. It's not the body anymore. Jnani tvatmaiva me matam, Krishna says. It's my opinion. Krishna is saying like that. Why? Astida sahi yukta atma. Astida sahi atma. Because he's always in that state, and maam eva uttamam gadim. As soon as he leaves the body, he comes back to me. He comes back to me. So you can see the link between Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam there. In this chapter, Krishna is going to talk about knowledge. He says here in the fourth chapter, this seventh chapter is Jnana Vijnana Yogam, which we have discussed before. Udara Sarva Evede Jnani Twalpaiva Memadam. Astida. Astida means he is situated like that. That means he has become that knowledge. Sahi Yukta Alma and Mameva Uttamam Gadim. So, in other words, Krishna is saying here, Udara Ulkrishnaha Sarva Eva Ede Trayaha Abhi Mama Priyaha Eva Ityartaha. In other words, he says here that all of them are great. All those persons, if you look into the verses before that in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see four kinds of people worship me, surrender unto me, isn't it? If you look into the 16th verse, you will see four kinds of people surrender unto me. Artha, Jityasu, Arthati, Jnani. Four kinds of people. Artha means one who is in distress. Jityasu means one who is inquisitive. Arthati means, let me see if you remember. What's that? Normally, it is people misunderstand that who is after money. But that is not the meaning. I mentioned that at the time when we discussed seventh chapter. Do you remember? It's a very big false conception in people's mind. Arthati means it is money. No. Arthati means, you remember, artham here refers to not money. It refers to purushartham. That means dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham. When one has crossed all these four, if he is expecting any results after that, he is arthati. That means dharmartha, kama, moksham. Otherwise, it won't make any sense. I told you that. Remember? Because jityasu and arthati, a person who is asking for money, if he is higher than, because it should be in an order, isn't it? Artha, jityasu, arthati, jnani. Four kinds, right? Artha is the lowest class. Our class, in other words. Always asking, always in distress, always suffering misery in life. Never mind, doesn't matter, at least we are in one of the category. It's better that, you know, it's somewhere in the four, if not in the highest level. At least some category we should be in. Artha. Krishna says, I accept him. Jityasu is the next one. That means who is inquisitive. Now normally, Arthati, if he says he is asking for money, he is definitely not better than a Jityasu, can he? Jityasu is gone that stage. So that's why you have to understand that Arthati is misunderstood sometimes by people. They think that is one who is asking for money. It's not that. It is what the Purushartham he has gone. That is what it is. And then Krishna says Jnani. Krishna considers Jnani as the topmost class, as his devotee. A devotee who is a Jnani is his topmost devotee, he says here. Then, in the next verse, you see, Tesham Jnani Nitya Yukta Ega Bhaktir Vishishyade Priyohi Jnaniyo Thyartam Aham Sacha Mama Priyaha. Krishna says that among them, Jnani is the best. He says, is it not? He says Jnani is the best. Because he is dear to me and I am very dear to him. Priyo hi jnanino tyartam aham sacha mama priya. I am dear to him and he is very dear to me. So there itself Krishna has spoken about that, and we have talked about that in the seventh chapter. And then Krishna mentions like this, jnani twalpa eva me matam. He says like that there, isn't it? So it's the same thing Krishna is saying here. That jnani twalpa eva me matam means that jnani who has reached that state. Yani, what we are talking about, one who has reached that state. And Krishna says that. And he says to Arjuna, Arjuna, that Jnani is not different from me. I am that Jnani, he says. That Jnani is me. Jnani twalpaiva me matam. That's what it means. Jnani is me. Jnani twalpaiva alma means soul. And soul means Krishna. That's why Krishna is saying like that. Jnani twalpaiva me matam. Yani is me, is not different from me. So he is standing there, Yani is standing there, and he is actually Krishna himself there. Yani who has reached that state, Krishna is saying he is non-different from me. So this next chapter, this chapter what we are dealing with, is to talk about the glory of Jnanam. The glory of the Jnanam. That's what he's going to talk about. And in this particular chapter, the importance of the knowledge of the soul, Krishna is going to discuss. All Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, everything finishes there. Everything finishes there. Why? Krishna says there, Jnane Parisamapyate. If you look into that same chapter, in the fourth chapter, verse 33, you will see there. Sarvam karmahilam partha jnane parisamapyate. That is what that verse refers to. When you read Bhagavad Gita, if you do not understand in what consciousness Krishna is referring to, particularly in reference to jnani, you won't make a head and tail of it. See, sarvam karmahilam partha jnanam parisamapyate. If you look in that verse, look at that verse, 43, fourth chapter. How closely Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is. If you look into the chapter 4, verse 33, Krishna says there,
Shreyan Dravyamayad Yajnan Jnana Yajna Param Tava Sarvam Karma Khilam Partha Jnane Parisamapyade Shreyan Dravyamayad Yajnan Jnana Yajna Param Tava Sarvam Karma Khilam Partha Jnane Parisamapyade.
Krishna was talking about different kinds of yajnam in that chapter. And ultimately Krishna says, higher than the all other yajnam. Yajnam means sacrifices, what we execute with dravyam. Dravyam means with the different objects. Dravyam, wealth, whatever we execute. Superior to that is yajnam in relationship with jnanam. Relationship with the knowledge. Krishna is saying, and Krishna says there, all actions, karmam, eventually finishes in jnanam. Jnane parisamapyade. So, sarvam karmakhilam partha jnane parisamapyade. Everything finishes in with jnanam. With jnanam. Krishna says like that. So, it is the same thing that what Krishna is saying here also, that everything finishes in jnanam. Sarvam karmakhilam partha jnanam parisamapyade. So, remember this. Jnanam means not knowledge of the book, bookish knowledge, not the knowledge of the shastram from the books. It is anubhuti. Anubhuti means in realization. That is what Krishna is talking about. Not the knowledge of the books, not the bookish knowledge, knowledge from the books, all the verses or the translation or the purports. That's not what it is. Generally, we have this problem with most of us. We study book in this way, without thinking anything about the realization of it. All focused on which page, which verse, which chapter, that's all it matters to us. That's what says it. That's what says here. And we say to others also. It's there mentioned like this. So you take it that it's there. That should not be like that. That's not the way it is. Krishna says here, this knowledge, Krishna keeps on talking, jnanam, is not bookish knowledge. It's all referring to the realization. Referring to the anubhuti, that is a word in the shastram. Anubhuti. Anubhuti means it is experienced in that state. It is experienced in that state. And not only that, it is a it is not a particular experience even. It is the complete awareness of the soul's presence inside. Nityasiddham. Particularly, you will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, while referring to the great devotees, they are talking about this. That you have to read Bhagavatam. If you look into Jadabharata, what does he say? Pratyak prashandam bhagaval shabda shamyam yad vasudevam kavayo vadandi. In two lines he mentioned that. Pratyak prashandam bhagaval shabda samyam yad vasudevam kavayo vadandi. He says to Rahugana, Rahugana, it is like this, pratyak prashandam, in your realized state, because he is speaking from that state, you see, our Jadabharata is speaking from that state, pratyak prashandam means that soul inside, it is called pratagalma, who is present inside, he has completely in identification with that. He is experiencing that. So he is saying the nature of that Pratyagatma who is inside is Prashantam, always in Shanti. That is the nature of that soul. Pratyak Prashantam. And others call it as Bhagavan, that consciousness inside. Bhagaval Shabda Shabnyam. Bhagaval Shabdam, people address that as, Sapnya means to address him as Bhagavan. They address that as Bhagavan. Pratyak Prashantam, Bhagaval Shabda Samyam. And the same thing is called by devotees, Yad Vasudevam Kavayo Vadandi. Learned people call that as Vasudeva. Call it as Vasudeva. So Vasudeva, when we address as Vasudeva, Vasudeva actually means that state of consciousness. And that state of consciousness. So here you can see here that when you keep on analyzing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, through the mind and intelligence, it causes more problem. It causes more problems. Nowadays, you see, we are studying Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and classes and seminars are run. And then afterward there is a test. You have to write the test, you have to pass the test, you have to score high on these tests. It's all a waste of time because there is no realization anywhere discussed. Realization is more important. What is the use of all this knowing which words and which chapter and which book, who has spoken? This is not important. That is why here Krishna's word jnanam means anubhuti. Anubhuti means realization. If you are in that state, that means something. If you are not in that state, it means nothing. Like you have studied that subject like another chemistry or physics. That's all what it means. See the way how difficult this is to get this point across to people. When you tell them anything about it, they say, no, I got Bhakti Shastri, I got Bhakti thing, Bhakti that, everything. I got all the titles. But where is that Pratyak Prashantam Bhagavala Shabda Samyam Yad Vasudevam Kavaya Vadandi? Jadabharata says this. And you will see the same thing Dattatreya Maharshi is saying later. And you will see the same thing Vrutrasura talking about it. All of them are speaking from realization platform, not from the bookish knowledge. None of them have studied any of these books, but they have realizations in them. So they have come to the book to tell us. Through book, that they are the important subject. That means their realization, what they are talking. We'll see that when we come to Mujhugunda Stuti, Shuddhi Gita, all these topics in the Bhagavatam, it's all realization, realization and realization. Nothing but realization. Other details, like most of us, our habit is, we want to find out when did Vritrasura live, how all did he live, and where did this happen. People always ask this question, where did Hiranyakashipu appear? Did he appear in this planet or did he appear in the heavenly planet? Where did all this fight happen between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlada? Where is the location? And suddenly some Purana will say it happened somewhere near Haridwar or Rishikesh. Everybody packs the baggage and go there to find out where exactly it has happened. Like Dakshayana. They are not important where it happened. What does it matter where it has happened? For us what's important is what have we got out of it? All these things are spoken to get us to the point to understand what is soul means, what spirit soul means. Because that is where we want to get to. It doesn't matter whether Hiranyakashipu was killed here or Hiranyakashipu was killed in the heavenly planet or Hiranyakashipu was killed somewhere else. What does it matter? Hiranyakashipu is not bothered. He's back in Vaikuntham. We are here still. So that's how we are. Our stupid mind will get in and start inquiring all these kind of things. And we think that if I got all that information, I have advanced spiritually. Foolishly we identify like that, isn't it? And God, he knows so much, people say. He knows everything, where everything has happened. So some people take a great delight in that, in this collecting information business. But that's no use. When we come to this chapter, what Krishna is saying there is, anything what you have acquired through your mind and intelligence, put it in the bin. Anything what you have acquired through mind and intelligence, put it in the bin. Even get a very little, very, very spark of realization from this chapter, you have obtained a lot from the Bhagavatam. That's how valuable it is. So, so Krishna says here, when we talk like this, you will know that the one thing you will learn, that you will know that this cannot be understood.
This cannot be understood. In other words, that this is a topic which you cannot capture with the mind. This is a topic which cannot capture with the mind. And when you have understood that, that there's something which you cannot capture with the mind, and you have accepted it inside, then it will come out inside a person. It will manifest in a person. That is the nature of this spiritual knowledge. When you have accepted that, this is something which you will not be able to understand with the mind, if you have accepted it that way, then you will see suddenly one day, this realization will slowly pop up inside. Because why? You have got yourself free from the grip of the mind. This part of the chapter is very, very difficult. I will say this again. It's very difficult. Because there was a story about that. He says there was among the one of the 12 sons of Varaji. Varaji was a great scholar in Vikramaditya's assembly. And highly learned he was, and highly realized as well. He wanted to escape from his destiny. He was destined to marry a girl from a pariah family. And he tried to avoid it, but eventually destiny made him to marry that girl. It happened in a very roundabout way. It all happened at the end. Vikramaditya asked Vararuji, what is the most important verse in the Ramayanam? And Vararuji had to find an answer. And he gave him a time of 41 days or something like that, and to come back. Vararuji kept thinking about it, and he started wandering around. And before 41 days, he had to come back and tell Vikramaditya, otherwise he has to leave. That was the agreement. So during that journey, somehow life took it in such a way, providence or whatever we call it, he married a girl who gave the answer to him for the question. And she happened to live in a Brahmana's home, and he thought he was a Brahmana girl, but destiny was such it was a pariah girl whom he brought up later, earlier in his life, which he was not even aware of. Anyway, the girl was very intelligent, and she gave the answer to him. He went back and spoke to Vikramaditya, and he got his prize from the king. All that happened. But later on, Vararuji saw how powerful destiny is. If something is meant to happen, it will happen. You won't be able to stop it. And something is not meant to happen, no matter how much effort you put into it, it will not happen. This is very underlying principle in the Krishna consciousness philosophy. To make us aware of this, because when we don't accept all these things, these are very, in a subtle level, important principle in spiritual life. So anyway, Vararuji, when this happened, he saw how powerful destiny is in life. He was an intelligent person. He said, I'm not going to stay here anymore. I'm going, he said. He walked away from home. And with his wife, they started traveling, walking around. And eventually, they ended up in a forest. And every time, the wife, when she became pregnant and had the child, Vararuji will ask one question, has it got a mouth? Vararuji's belief in the destiny was so strong, he says, if it has got a mouth, the person who has created will provide the food as well. Leave the child there and they will walk. Like this, 11 children were left in the forest, and they were brought up by different community. Different people in different communities they brought up. Only when the 12th child was born, the mother could not bear it anymore. 11 children she has already left in different places. When the 12th child came, mother said, when he asked the same question as the child got a mouth, she said, the child has no mouth. Take it with you. She said, take him with you. That was the answer. So among them, there was one who was a mad person, like our Jadabharata character. Completely like Jadabharata, but very realized. And he used to visit his eldest brother, Once a year, all of them will come together. All these 12 will come together to perform the Shraddha ceremony of the parents. They'll come together. So this one particular one, he used to go there and he will discuss this with the eldest brother about that. So, so he mentions there that he used to sit there, and the eldest brother, Agnihotri was his name, Agnihotri used to sit there and read the Upanishads. So while he was reading Upanishads, this personality used to sit there and listen to him. For a few days he was very constantly listening. And one day, and every day he used to say, I did not understand, he used to say like this. I did not understand what you are saying, he said, what you are reading from the Upanishads. And he used to get up and walk out. One day, he said, I have understood, he said. One day, suddenly he said, I have understood. Agnihotri asked him, what have you understood? He says, I have understood that I cannot understand anything. That was his answer. So similarly, here also, you will keep on listening and you will understand that you cannot understand anything what this poor Krishna is talking about. This is what will happen. If you come to that state that you cannot understand anything, suddenly you will see one day something happening inside. And because it is here, Krishna, who has to release this knowledge to us. Not by our effort, it won't happen. Our effort is what? Through mind and intelligence. That's our effort, isn't it? And this is all on the platform of the soul. So it has to come from Krishna. So constantly hearing, not allowing to mind and intelligence to step in. If you keep on hearing, one day a spark will come from inside. And that is Krishna's mercy. That is when you have to wait till that happens. Till that happens. So that is why this Shravana Samskaram, this hearing process, or this culture of hearing, it has to be developed in that way. Otherwise, every time you will go and listen, and then you will start evaluating everything what you have heard, and the next thing what you do, oh, he's all right, I can listen to him. But this guy, he doesn't say anything, not worthwhile, wasting time. And you will reject everybody in this world. There will be nobody worthwhile listening to. A stage will come like that. Is it not? So, Shravanam, hearing process. In the Bhagavadam, you remember, Geharadim Chinati Yat Karna Nadim, Vidura says there, that Karna Nadi has to open. The Nadi, the nerve which goes from the ears to the heart, that is blocked at the moment, it has to open up. When we keep on hearing without allowing the mind and intelligence to interfere in that, one day by Krishna's mercy it will start slowly opening up. When it opens up, this what you are hearing through will start manifesting inside an experience level. The level of experience, that is what it is. So basically, this has to happen only by Krishna's mercy. Only by Krishna's mercy. When I say that by Krishna's, oh well, that's not going to happen. Immediately you will say that. It's not going, Krishna's mercy. That is, when is it going to happen? You will ask that question, isn't it? That will be the natural response. You wanted everything now, here, today, right now. That may not happen. That's the problem. So Krishna is saying here that when this mood develops in a person, what's happening there is you're actually surrendering there. Your ego is surrendering there. When you know that you can't do it anymore, neither your mind or intelligence, you can't do it, you are surrendering at that stage, and at that time this thing will start coming from inside. But that will take time, because ego, it will, for a moment ego will say, yes, I won't allow the mind and intelligence. But the very next moment you hear something, merely the mind and intelligence will come back again into action. So basically in satsangam, what actually happens in satsangam is to corner a person. Corner him from every side so that ego is suppressed down. And somehow or the other bring that ego level inside a person to the lowest level possible. So that when that ego goes away, you will see everything become very light inside. Light in the heart, light in the body, light in the mind, everything. And and that is why it says here that when mind and intelligence cannot handle it anymore,
So at that point, Krishna manifests in the heart. When otherwise it is the problem. When the movement is happening inside, that means you can't do anymore anything. If you have come to that state, inside Krishna manifests here. When all that movement stops, Krishna says here, that means to stay quiet without any more any pride, any ego inside. If you remember this, the same thing was spoken in the 13th chapter. I don't know whether you have caught on to that. Look at that 13th chapter. In the Bhagavadam, Ekadasa Skandam, when we discuss that important chapter, 13th chapter, Drishtim dadi tada pratinivartya nivirta tishna tushnim bhavet sukabhava anubhavo niriha. Look at that verse. That is what it refers to. Drishtim dada pratinivarti, 13th chapter, 35th verse. See how important all these things are. Without all this message, understanding these verses in this particular way, if you simply read translation purport and think that if you have understood, that will be the greatest mistake. Drishtim dada pratinivartya nivirta tishna tushnim bhavet nijasukhani bhavo niriha samdrishyade kujayadidam avastu buddhya tyaktam brahmayana bhave smriti rani padad. Remember that tata drishtim pratinivartya nivirta tishna niriha tushnim bhavet. In other words, you have shifted your attention from the world and it has gone towards the soul, and without any desire, without any karma in this world, without talking anything unnecessarily, one has to be situated in that. That is that state Krishna is talking about. Drishtim dada pratinivritya nivritta tishna tushnim bhavet nija sukhanu bhavo niriha. Those two lines in that verse represents that state. That is that state. Drishtim dada pratinivritya. That means you have taken your attention away from the world. Nivirta Tishna. You are free from all desires as well. All desires have gone away. Your attention from the world has gone away and turned towards the soul. Tushnim bhaved nija sukhani bhavo niriha. And you are constantly seeing that truth inside. Who is present there? That present platform of the soul. So it is that state. Krishna has spoken like that. Be in that state. He told Uddhava at that time. And nija sukhani bhavo niriha. What is nija sukhani bhavo niriha means? He does not want anything in this world except the soul. Only the soul. And what he is saying here is that in order to experience the soul, you don't need anything. You don't need anything to experience the soul. Because no sadhana, no technique, no method, nothing is required to experience the soul. No sadhana, no technique, no method is required to experience the soul. Wherever there is a technique or a method, then you will not be able to experience the soul. If ever you think that through technique and method you can experience the soul, it is not possible. It's not possible to experience the soul. Because what you will experience is that technique or method, not the soul. That is the problem. You see the problem? That for us, normally what do we do in life? For everything we look for a plan. We make a plan, isn't it? Technique or a method or something like that. We have a mind like that to plan everything. So we come to spiritual life and we look for technique, methods, whatever is available in this world. So if you start using that technique or method in this case, you won't experience the soul, but what you will experience is that technique or method. That's what you will experience at that point. In order to experience the soul, even you are not required. You are not required to experience the soul because you have to go to experience the soul. You is the false ego who is trying to experience the soul. But when the false ego goes away, you are not there anymore. You are the soul then. The soul itself is your identity at that time. Isn't it? That's why you are not required to experience anything, because you are not needed there. And when you yourself are destroyed, when you yourself, means your false ego is completely wiped out, then what remains at that time is soul.
is the soul, anubhavam or realization, and that is purnam, that is complete. That is that first verse in the Ishvamanishad. Purnamadam, purnamidam, purnat, purnamudachyade, purnasya, purnamadaya, purnamayva avashishyade. That purnam state is that. Purnam state is that. Without jnanavicharam, without brahmavicharam, it's not possible to study Srimad Bhagavatam. If you simply think bhakti, 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 we keep on talking about it, without any deeper penetration into all these verses, what Krishna is talking about, we'll always be on the hovering on the surface, without getting deeply into the topic, what Krishna has spoken about. The sages have a very unusual way of talking things. They expect us to come to that state to understand when they speak in verses like this. What Krishna, Sri Bhagavan Vaja, in one verse, Krishna has spoken so much there. And because we are not tuned in properly, it's on a peculiar plane, you will understand. Understand means you will experience it. Till we experience that, you can never say that you have got it. Till you experience that, you can never say you have got it. All you can do is to keep on hearing this without completely keeping the mind and the ego and the intelligence away from the hearing process. From the hearing process. So here, Krishna says here, once we give it up for the sake of the sound vibration, Shabdabhangi. Shabdabhangi means, sometimes when you hear certain things, it gives you some pleasure, isn't it? Shabdabhangi. Shabdam. Some verses in the Sanskrit, when you hear that, it's very nice. And if you give up that, and hearing for the just for the sake of pleasure, and what is the spoken, the message, if it is accepted inside, without any hesitation, then you will know that that is your identity, pure identity, and that you don't have to become that, you are that. You don't have to become that. You see, normally in spiritual life, we are always thinking like this, that I have to become a pure devotee one day, then I have to go, or some, in other words, if you say I have to become a senior devotee, or then I have to become a pure devotee after that. All kinds of titles we have created already in our own life, isn't it? Whatever in the organization is there, in a business or in company, they have managers and senior managers and directors and chairmen like that. We also create in spiritual life similar designations, all centered around the soul, not knowing that we are trying to get out of these designations. We'll create designations, junior devotee, senior devotee, initiated, non-initiated, uninitiated, all like this kind of things. So, and then we are thinking that we are making progress, one day we will get there. But here what Krishna is saying here is that when you got out of all these designations, the last stage is there is no designation anymore. Pure soul as you are, that's what you are then anymore. There is no more identity after that. So that is what Krishna is saying here. When the pride goes away, false ego goes away, and when one loses the whole effort to acquire that, if that goes away, and the mind becomes completely in the state where it has no more movement anymore, and if you give up the normal habit of giving importance to the movement of the mind, and if you give up the importance of the movement of our pride or false ego, and if you give up the oscillations of the intelligence, and if you also give up eventually your individuality or the personality, at that stage you are this akhandam, uninterrupted, unbroken state of consciousness will manifest in a person. Uninterrupted, unbroken state of consciousness will manifest, which Krishna has spoken before. You remember that? In the beginning, Krishna says, akhandam, sachidanandam, sattachitta anandam, that is that state, akhandam state. Akhandam means unbroken state of the identification with the soul. When will that happen? When we realize that that once the pride goes away from inside, when there is not even a trace of false ego inside, and the effort in acquiring that,
which is a big thing, isn't it? In all of us, we all believe in that. Oh, what should I do for that? We always ask this question, isn't it? As soon as we say about self-realization, what should I do to become self-realized? So that means in your own mind you have concluded that you have to do something to get it. So that desire inside to do something, when that goes away from inside, and when the mind which is constantly fluctuating or creating movements inside, when that comes to a stop and you don't give any more importance to that movement of the mind, and not giving any importance to the movement of that ego inside, and also not giving any importance to the oscillations of the intelligence as well. If you have given up all that, and including your own personality or the vyaktitvam as it is referred to, if you have given up all that, then that state is akhandam, unbroken, uninterrupted state. Sachidananda rupoham, it says there, isn't it? Sachidananda rupam. That Sachidanandam state is that state. Is that state. And that akhandatvam or purnata or completeness is not something you have to work for it. You have to work for it. And it is already there in us. This is the most important thing. If you remember in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam, remember, you should read those verses because they are very important verses coming from a personality like Prahlada. How can you ignore it? How can you ignore what Prahlada is saying to us? He has come from the womb of Kayadu with this realization after hearing from Prahlada. What did he say? If you look into the 7th canto, you will see what he said. The important verses. And there is no other verse because that is where Prahlada completely shocked Narada Maharshi with those verses when he said that. He shocked Narada Maharshi when Prahlada spoke that verse. Here is my disciple. Right inside the womb, he has got the message. You know that Narada Maharshi goes to everyone to talk about the self-realization, isn't it? Narada Maharshi's main business is to convince about spiritual life to others. He tried with many people. And first he said that it's very difficult. He had to spend a lot of time with many, many people while talking about self-realization. Then he said, it's better that I go, they're all spoiled, because once they have come to this world, fall into Maya, under the influence of Maya, once they are inside this Maya, it's very difficult to get them to understand spiritual life. So he kept on changing people. And eventually he said, let me go and get hold of a young child before he gets spoiled by Maya. So that's how he goes to Dhruva. Dhruva Maharaj was 5 years old. They're all Narada Maharshi's disciple, Dhruva, Prahlada and all that. So Narada Maharshi taught the science of the soul to Dhruva. And after a while, Dhruva also he found not qualified enough. Narada Maharshi said, why? When Dhruva saw Krishna, instead of asking for self-realization, Dhruva asked for a kingdom and Krishna granted him that. For 36,000 years he ruled the planet. Narada Maharshi was not very impressed by his disciple, by Dhruva. No doubt Dhruva reached that state of later, but Narada Maharshi thought, if you have to realize here, right now, and give up from this world and get back to the spiritual world, he is the best disciple as far as Sri Narada Maharshi is concerned. You know, in the 6th canto, Narada Maharshi goes to the sons of Daksha, Daksha Prajapati's children, Haryashwa and Shabalashwa. He made them all sannyasis and sent them back. The father got very upset. Daksha Prajapati got very upset with Narada Maharshi and cursed him, didn't he? He cursed. So Narada Maharshi didn't care because he said, at least they accepted what I am saying. And they went to the forest and performed penances and took to spiritual life and left. Priyavrata did the same thing. Remember? In the 5th canto, Priyavrata. Priyavrata, Uttanapada, they were the two children. Karnava Prajapati's wife, Devahuti, Prasuti. And the two boys and three girls, Swayambhu Manu and Shadaruba had. The first Manu, Swayambhu Manu and Shadaruba had 5 children. Priyavrata and Uttanapada, 2 boys. Akudi, Devahuti and Prasuti, 3 girls.
Out of the three girls, Kardava Prajapati married Devahuti. You must remember these names because it is through them the whole population has come later. So, Devahuti was married to Kardava Prajapati. Prasudi, Akudi, Devahuti and Prasudi. Ruji Prajapati married another person. And Prasudi married another person. So, through these marriages, they got married and went away. Then, who is left is Priyavrata and Uthanapada. Priyavrata, in normal course, because he is the eldest boy, should have got taken to the administration of kingdom. So, Ambhumanu asked him to do it. What did he do? He said, I don't want all this kingdom. This is all a headache for me, he said. This managing this world. And he goes to Himalayas for penances, performing penances to go to the spiritual world. There he meets Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi was very pleased. He got someone who was serious about spiritual life. To get someone serious in spiritual life is very difficult, isn't it? It's always difficult. To get someone to make money, there's always plenty. But to get someone to take to spiritual life is very, very difficult. So our Sri Narada Maharshi met Priyavrata in Himalayas and he told Priyavrata, give up everything, stay there. He said, stay in the Himalayas and perform penances and gave him the mantra to chant and stay in the and execute your spiritual life there, he said. Somehow the other Swayambhumanu came to know about this, that he has gone and done this to my son who was supposed to manage the planet. So Swayambhumanu understood that there is no point in telling him anything. He's not going to listen. He spoke to Priyavrata. Priyavrata won't listen. So he went to Brahma and told Brahma about this. So Brahma understood the situation and he came down with Priyavrata and they all together went to see Swayambhumanu and Brahma. They all together went to see Priyavrata and spoke to Priyavrata. So Narada Maharshi says, if I have given sannyas to someone, he has never fallen down once. It's not normal for somebody if I have given sannyas, because Narada Maharshi is so strong about that point. If you give sannyas to people, if they don't stay in the sannyas ashram, then it is a reflection on the person who has given sannyasam also. Is it not? It shows something wrong somewhere. One who has given sannyasam is also faulty. One who has taken sannyasam is also wrong, equally wrong. So, Narada Maharshi was very conscious of that. He says, if I have given sannyasam to somebody, nobody will come back like that. And here is a situation that Brahma and Swayambhumanu themselves are going and trying to get him back from there. Narada Maharshi said to him that at least make sure that if he has to come back, let him stay as long as he wants, but he should eventually go back to the self-realization process. So strict he was about that. And he did come back. Priyavrata did come back. He came back. Initially, he didn't want to get married. But now, he didn't get married once, he got married twice. Priyavrata got married twice. But Priyavrata, because it was Narada Maharshi, at a particular point in time, Narada Maharshi said, now pack up and go. Enough is enough. And that's when Priyavrata leaves everything and goes to the forest. Again, Narada Maharshi tells him and helps him to get out from here. So, all this is in the Srimal Bhagavatam. And Narada Maharshi, you will see throughout Bhagavatam giving sannyasam to people, sending them back from here. He went to Prajina Barhis. He had a very tough job with Prajina Barhis. Prajina Barhis is the most interesting personality in the Bhagavatam. A great personality. He sits there, sacrifice after sacrifice he is executing, one after the other. Thousands and thousands he has executed these sacrifices. And he was thinking that I've executed so many sacrifices but never had any idea about self-realization. Narada Maharshi gone and disturbed his mind as well. And eventually he helped Prajina Barhis to give up this process of Karmagandam and come to the process of knowledge. You will see that in the Puranjanobhakhyanam story in the Bhagavatam. So, what is important here is, when all these things have happened, Sri Narada Maharshi started thinking, what is the problem with all these people? It is such an effort and endeavor to get this message across to their head. I don't know what Narada Maharshi will talk about us if he meets us one day, seeing our state, the state we are in. Anyway, Narada Maharshi says there, that I am not going to talk to these people anymore, because the problem with them is they come to this world and they get contaminated with Maya. Maya captures them. Once they are caught by Maya, it's very difficult to get them out from there. So let me get hold of someone who, before he comes out of the womb, I'll catch him, he says. And that is Prahlada. So, among all Narada Maharshi's disciples, the best is this Prahlada. Why? Because he got instructed while inside mother's womb, in Kayadu's womb. So, when he came out, it showed that spark, that fire in him when he came out. Can you imagine a child who has come out of the womb speaking like this in the Bhagavatam? He says there, let me read that verse, and it is from Prahlada, this message has come to us. It's Prahlada's realization. It is Upanishad's conclusion also. It's not different. What did Prahlada say there? Prahlada is saying here, let me look at that. Prahlada talked about the body and the soul in very distinctly. He spoke. What is soul means? What body means? Isn't it? You remember that? In the seventh canto, Prahlada's words. It's probably in the. 19. Which chapter is it?
7-7.
7-7, is it? Sixth chapter, 7-6, verse 19. This one verse speaks for Prahlada. This one verse. Can you imagine a child who has come from the womb, he is talking like this. Mahyachudam prinayado bahuayaso asuralmajam altmatval sarvabhudanam siddhatval ihasaruvada. Very simple. He says here, Nahyachudam prinayato. It is not very difficult to please Krishna, he says. Nahyachudam prinayato. Bahvayaso asuralmaja. He is telling his friends, asuralmaja. Asuralmaja means all my friends to the demon. They are addressing each other. Asuralmaja. Asuralmaja means all children of the demon. Asuralmaja. Nahyachudam prinayato. Bahvayaso asuralmaja. Asuralmaja. It is not very difficult to please Krishna. Why? Altmatval sarvabhudanam. He's already there inside us. In present in everyone. He's already present there. Siddhatval yasarvada. It is not something that has to come from outside. You have already got it. So why it is such a problem, he is asking. You are thinking that he has to come from somewhere else at some time. No. He's already there in you, within you. All the question is, get rid of that ignorance from inside and he will come out. That's what satsangam means. Keep on hearing this. Altmatval sarvabhudanam. As the soul of every living entity in this world, he is present in everyone. Altmatval sarvabhudanam. What else? Siddhatval ihasaruvada. You have already got it. It's not something you have to get it from somewhere tomorrow. Normally in spiritual life we are thinking, because we have no realization of these things, what do we think? I'll keep my chanting, I'll do my 16 rounds today. One day when I'm a little bit more free, I'll do my 32 rounds. And I'll do 64 later. And if I'm lucky, I'll go to Vrindavan and then I'll leave my body there. And then everybody is telling I'll go back to the spiritual world. Where's the proof of all that? Here is a better proof than that. Krishna is saying, Prahlada is telling us, Atmatvam Sarvabhudanam. Krishna is present here right now within us, inside, as the soul present there. And Siddhatval, here Sarvada. Right now, here, if you haven't got it, you are not going to get it tomorrow, he says. If you haven't got it today, what is there, how are you going to get it tomorrow? That is his question. Because it's already there. Something is covering us from understanding that realization of the soul inside. After saying that, if you look into that verse later on, he says many things. Paravareshu Budeshu, Brahmandastavaradishu, Bhautikeshu, Vigareshu, Budeshu, Adam Halsucha, Guneshu, Gunasamecha, Gunam Vidigare Tata, Ega Eva Paro, Atma, Bhagavan, Isharo, Aveya. Prategalma Surubena, Dushirubena Jaswayam, Vyapi Vyava, Anirdeshu, Vigalpida, Kevalanam, Bhavananda, Suruba, Parameshwara. You see the same words what Vasudeva has used when Krishna appeared. Kevalanam, Bhavananda, Surubam. Vididosi Bhaval Sakshal, if you look into Vasudeva's verses, you will see the same words. Kevalanam, Bhavanandam, nature of the soul, nature of Krishna. So, Prahlada spoke this, and Narada Maharshi was very impressed by he says, you are my best disciple. And that is why in Srimad Bhagavatam, when it came to the seventh canto, especially about this topic about Prahlada, Narada Maharshi told Sukadeva Goswami, you don't talk about him, I will talk about him, he said. With pride, he said. That is why in the seventh canto, you see, don't see Shuka Vacha. It's all Sri Narada Vacha. For this reason only. Very impressed by his disciples' success in spiritual life. That one who was able to come out from the womb and say this truth very openly to all his friends, including his father, Hiranyakashipu, told him all these things. Exactly like Vasudeva has spoken. That Kevalana, of course, Vasudeva spoken after Krishna gave that realization to him. But here Prahlada happened through Narada Maharshi instruction. And Prahlada says, although when Narada Maharshi spoke all these things, the friends were asking him, where do you get all this understanding from? All his friends are asking him this question, where did you get this from? At that time Prahlada says, I heard this while I was in the womb of Kayadhu. But then what happened to Kayadhu? Kayadhu did not understand anything. Just see. Why? Because Kayadhu was in a terrible anxiety about what will happen to her. Narada Maharshi has brought Kayadhu with Prahlada in the ashram, and keeping Kayadhu in the front, Narada Maharshi is instructing. And inside the womb, Prahlada is hearing everything, and he comes out fully realized. And Kayadhu as before. No change. No change in Kayadhu. That is again the proof that once we are conditioned by Maya, it's a bit difficult. That's why all this struggle now for us to break away from all these things. It's so much effort. So this is what it is. He says here that it's already Nitya Siddham. Siddhatvali ha sarvada. Atmatval, if you remember those two words, Atmatval sarvabhudanam Siddhatvali ha sarvada. That's all it is. Is already present inside as Atma and is already available to us, Siddhatva Aliha Sarvada. Remember in the Bhagavad Gita we spoke about it yesterday. What was that? Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yandra Rodhani Mayayam Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharadam. Isn't it? So there you have to surrender. It is that realization more important than seeing Krishna in any deity, in any temple, anywhere else. That is all very much on an external level. This is the perfection of that. Only to get to that stage, we are going to see the deity. Because in the early days, it's very difficult to accept that presence of Krishna inside. It doesn't happen very easily. It has to go through all this process of worship, deity worship and everything. But when it comes to a very advanced state, that is where it should be. Tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharata. Prasadal param shandim sthanam prapsisi shashvatam, Krishna says. Bhagavad Gita's conclusion. Yal prasadal param shandim, by his prasadam, by his satisfaction, param shandi, perfect happiness, you will reach that state, sthanam prapsisi shashvatam. That state, which when you reach there, it is eternal and it is permanently shandi state. That is the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. So, coming back to this, what time is it now? It's 5 o'clock. So, we'll have a break now. 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Continue with that later.